Well, thank you guys so much for having our family back here. I'm excited that I got to bring Jennifer and the kiddos this time. As I said a minute ago, I do plan the Florida trips for like January, February. It was 36 and raining when we left Fort Worth, Texas a few days ago. So this is nice. So happy to be here. And just excited to see some of the people that went to Nepal with me just last month. I was talking with Heather just before and just said, hopefully this takes you back a little. I'll try not to just talk about Nepal, but it's hard not to. And I want to say hey to Prakash and Santosh, my brothers in Nepal that I know are listening right now. And man, so cool. So cool. And these are guys that, you know, they could be doing something better than listening to me preach. You know what I'm saying? These are guys that need to be preaching to me, right? And so just blessed to be here with you and to be here with them. And so last time I was here, church, I talked a little bit about our story. And, you know, you guys have probably slept since then. And so have I. So I forget everything I said, but I'll give you the brief version. Our story is that we never expected to be missionaries. Our story is that we were sitting in those seats looking at a guy up here going, like, we could never be that guy. That was my story. I was sitting there looking at the guy on stage or, you know, looking at the guy with the fancy headset and thinking, wow, like, good for him, because I could never do that. And so I want to start the day off with a bit of a challenge for you, in that you might be sitting in that chair now, but that may not be the end all be all for where God has for you to go. It may not be it for you. Actually, I can pretty much promise you that that's not it for you. Because the Christian walk is just that. It's a walk. It's a move down a path that leads you to where God has you going eventually. And you probably don't see it yet, but he's got somewhere for you. And so I want to start out by challenging you just to think as we go through today and in the upcoming days and weeks, where does God have me going? Like Pastor Chris said, I can imagine Cuba, but Nepal? Like, I don't know about that. Well, you never know what God's going to do, right? When he messaged me just like a few weeks before the trip and said, hey, is it okay if Marianne goes? I'm like, who am I? Who am I to say whether it's okay? Yeah, sign her up. Come on, let's go. Well, I shared the story of what God's been doing in our lives and done in our lives over the last 10 years and how God's led us here through a series of relationships, primarily in Nepal, but then a series of relationships that took us to a church in Springfield, Missouri that taught us missions, a church that talked about missions and went on missions trips and had missions pastors. And does any of this sound familiar to you guys this month and last month? And we learned missions. And God just started putting things in front of us that we just couldn't help but step into. And by the time we said yes to be missionaries full time, you know what it was? Like, people think it was this big leap of faith off a cliff somewhere into the great unknown of being a missionary. But you know what? It was the next step down the path. Like, we already saw where God was taking us. We saw all along the way that God was leading us closer to doing this. And it was another step. And so I challenge you to consider that this morning. I want to tell you about not only how God's played a part in our lives, but how God can play a part through your life and by using your life to his advantage. I want to tell you a little bit about manna real quick this morning before I get too deep into this. Like I said, you've probably slept since last time I was here. But manna works now in 40, it's actually grown since I was here last year, so 43 countries. We've got about two or three countries on the docket to come on this year in addition. And then we've got about 185 ongoing projects. These are things, these are projects that are working alongside churches around the world in these 43 countries. These are orphanages, nutrition centers, schools, medical clinics, anti-child trafficking type projects, and everything in between. Basically all pointed towards how do we get people in the local church? How do we reach unreached people with the gospel? How do we get the gospel to people who can't hear it over their stomach growling? We do a lot of things to make sure that they can hear it. We've helped to plant over 100 churches in the last 18 years now around the world alongside, you know, these missionaries and partners that we work with. And we're going to talk about some of those partners here in a little while, but suffice it to say, we're growing. God is blessing what we're doing. God's blessing our partners around the world. And he's doing it through people like you. He's doing it through the people sitting in the chairs thinking, oh man, I don't know if I could ever be up there. But he's doing it by digging in to your life. He's doing it by leading you on mission trips. He's doing it by changing your job situation. He's doing it by making you Pastor Mike when you're not really Pastor Mike. I don't know if you guys have heard that joke. It's great, man. That was, you know, that was forward thinking, I think, for my friend Banad in Nepal. But he's doing it through your finances. He's doing it through your prayers. And I want to challenge you to be a part of that. I want to tell the story of a boy named Bikram this morning, and I think on one of those first slides it told you a little bit about how to connect with us and stuff like that. But I want to jump into Bikram's story, and it's pretty cool because he's a kiddo in Nepal that, I don't know, might be listening right now or might go back and listen. He's a young man now. I still call him a kiddo because I met him 10 plus years ago, and so he's always going to be a kid to me. But Bikram's story is a little bit about what happens when somebody like you gets involved in the life of a child. Somebody like you steps out in faith. Bikram was born into desperate poverty in a place called Sindhipalchok. Can you say that three times fast? Sindhipalchok, Sindhipalchok, yeah. A little bit difficult place to say, but he was born in a village there with a mom and a dad who were in desperate poverty. Sometimes they had trouble putting food on the table at night. They lived in a mud hut with a thatched roof. That kind of poverty. The poverty that, unless you've seen it firsthand in another place usually, somewhere around the world, you don't exactly have a great picture of it maybe. But the type of poverty that means that your kid can't go to school because it's a choice between school and food. And maybe it's one meal a day of rice, beans, lentils, something like that. Bikram was born into desperate poverty, and he was born into a place where you would drink dirty water, which means that you're ill a lot of the time. Now, that's the plight of millions and millions of people around the world, not having access to clean water. He was born into a situation where he went to bed hungry at night often. I want to tell you right now that it's nighttime in Nepal, and it's nighttime in most of Asia, and I want to say that there are a lot of kids, there are a lot of people going to bed hungry tonight. I want to ask you a question. What does God say about what you and I are to do about kiddos like Bikram, people like Bikram? What does God say? If we look through the Bible, we see stories of desperation and hopelessness. And God always steps in to provide hope, right? And through Jesus, God stepped in to do many great things, to feed people, to house people, to heal people, to provide hope for people who are hopeless. But the biggest thing was to provide the gospel to people who absolutely desperately needed it. And people ask me all the time, why Asia? I want to answer in the best way I know how. I want to tell you that 70% of the malnourished kids in the world live in Asia. I want to tell you that about 87% of the unreached people groups in the world are in Asia. So these are people who don't have access to a local church. They don't have a Bible. They don't have a pastor down the road that can go to them. They don't have mission teams coming to their village. They don't have people to tell them who this Jesus is. If they've heard of him, they look around and they say, well, he doesn't live here. And we get to go in and come alongside these people and tell them, absolutely, he does live here. He does live right here, right around you. And the people that went to Nepal with me last month, I think they saw that in a lot of ways. God's at work. Every 10 seconds, a child dies as a result of hunger and related issues. There are over 20 million kids going to sleep on the street tonight in Asia. That's why I'm here. Those are the kids that I represent. I'm not up here asking for support for me because I need finances to go to Disney World or something like that. Weird. Disney's not my thing. It's probably my kids' thing. But my wife does, like, adore Mickey. No, She, you know, I try to embarrass her at least once in every time I speak. You know, like, I'm standing up here because I represent something much greater than myself. I represent a cause much greater than myself. Today, I want to move the conversation from can we give or can we serve to how can we not when we see the desperate need for Jesus around the world? How can we not get involved when people need food and clean water, when people need the hope of Christ? How can we not take a step of faith? In James 1:27, the Bible says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. That's what the Bible says that we're supposed to do for kiddos like Bikram, for families like Bikram's. I want to ask you, what if nobody went to help Bikram? What if no one went to him? What if nobody stepped out in faith to share the gospel? I want to tell you the rest of Bikram's story. He was in this village. His dad ended up passing away, and he and his mom were more desperate and hopeless than ever. And the mom couldn't feed him, couldn't provide education, couldn't provide anything that he needed to not only survive, but thrive. And then they met my friend Benad there, who just happened to go to that village. You think God does things by happenstance? I think everything is planned. My friend Benad happens to meet Bikram and his mom. My friend Benad says, hey, I have a school and I have a home in the city that he's free to come to. I'll take care of you guys. And he takes them in as a step of faith, as a person that says, hey, I'll give. Man, he gives more of his life and more of his self and more of his finances than I ever probably will, which is incredible. And these guys can attest to that. Bikram comes to Peace Child Home, and he comes out of a Hindu home down to a place that hears about Jesus, where people talk about Jesus all the time. And Bikram learns about this Jesus who loves him, who provides hope, who provides help, who cares about his plight. Bikram ends up accepting Christ. A few years after that, Bikram's mom passes away, and Bikram goes back to his village because everybody there says, as the eldest son, as the only son, he's supposed to go back, and he's supposed to do this ritualistic ceremony that we got to see there where they cremate the body, and they do this Hindu ritual ceremony, and my friend, my brother in Christ, Bikram, says, no, I'm Christian. His mom had come to know Jesus. He had come to know Christ, and he said no. And he stood up against the entire village to do something different. That is huge. That's what happens when somebody like you takes a step of faith to get involved in the life of a kid like Bikram. He was not only rescued from the grips of poverty, but he got Jesus. That's what we're about with manna. That's what we do with manna. We're not into the business of going in and starting a project that just feeds people, but we want to start a project that feeds people alongside a local community of believers so that people get to know this Jesus. Because that's more impactful than anything we could do for them here on earth. Last time I was here, I talked a little bit about I went and did some disaster relief in 2015 after the earthquakes there. I don't know if you guys remember that story, but I got to go in before I became a full-time missionary. I got to go in and help rebuild a village. And I stood up in a village of people that couldn't understand the language. And I stood up and preached my very first sermon ever in front of a group of people, probably about as many as we have here today. And standing beside me was a young man that came to the village to volunteer to help us rebuild shelters there. I want to tell you that the young man that stood beside me that morning and translated that first sermon to his people in a village not too far from where he was born was Bikram. That happens when people take a step of faith, when people give, when people pray, when people go, when people serve. That's what happens. Bikram since moved back to his village. He graduated out of high school. He went to college. He finished. He's moved back to his village. Now, let me tell you what a shining light he is in that place. We have to see that happen. We have to see that happen more and more. in places where people don't know about Jesus. Listen, I want to tell you that you may never be more like God than when you take a step of faith, when you reach out to take responsibility for a child in need. Say it again. You may never be more like God than when you reach out and take responsibility for a child in need. That's what we did 10 plus years ago when we started sponsoring kids in Nepal. I don't ask you to do anything that I haven't done and that I don't do currently. But when you take a step of faith to take responsibility for somebody that you don't have to, isn't that what God did for us? Isn't it? Didn't God take a step of faith? Didn't God reach out, not really a step of faith for him because he knows what's going to happen, but didn't God reach out and take responsibility for you and me to make sure that we heard about Jesus? And now he's doing it through us. We get to be a part of this. I want to talk about my friend Grace. I think if we click to the next slide, this is my friend Grace. And you guys, so the team that went with me last month didn't get to meet Grace, but they got to meet her mom there at their house. And this is my friend Jutty, I call her Grace, that she was telling her story in this picture. And she was telling us the story of how her family, actually this is Prakash's sister, I should stop and give another shout out to my boy Prakash. They have an incredible story. They have Hindu roots, as most people. I don't know what just happened. Okay. Wow, let's recompose. So Prakash and Grace were born into a Hindu family. They're born into the same type of family that most people in Nepal are, in poverty, not a lot of help and hope in their religion, not a lot of help and hope around them. And their dad was an alcoholic. Their dad had some demons. He had some struggles. And they went through a lot with their dad, a lot of abuse and a lot of things like that. And eventually, their dad left and went to India to work. But he didn't leave before they had gotten convinced by an aunt of theirs to visit church for the first time. And when the dad went away, and he ended up dying in India, the family remembered that this church, these people in this church, loved them and tried to help them. And so they went back to church. And one by one, they all came to faith, Grace and Prakash and their mom. And we got to spend a lot of time with Prakash on this past trip and see his faith and see just how shining a light he is in that place. Grace, my friend, she came to faith and she was telling us her story here in this picture that you see. And she's helped me to lead teams in Nepal since then. Isn't that cool? She's helped to translate for teams. She's shared the gospel. Her family started a church in their neighborhood because the people in their neighborhood couldn't afford to get across the city every Saturday for church service. Now, these are people that not only took the gospel upon themselves, took this faith upon themselves, got this hope in Jesus, but they immediately began to share it with somebody else. You find that in places like Asia, in places like Nepal in particular, like maybe nowhere else that I've seen, where people have a personal faith in God that says, take this in and then do something. Give it away. And they began to do that in their neighborhood and they're in their community. And they have a little church service in an apartment in this community now every week. And they're starting to pack out this service. Pretty cool. Grace recently went to Bible college in Norway. Isn't that neat? And in Norway, when she landed in this place where nobody speaks her language, she immediately finds, within like a month of landing in Norway, the end of 2017, Grace finds a group of other Nepali people living in Norway in her city. And she says, Craig, she messages me and she says, Craig, pray for me because I'm going to try to start small group Bible studies among these Nepali people in Norway. She didn't like sit back and wait when she got to a new place and try to learn the ropes and try to meet some people and, you know, try to move into the community slowly. She was like, I'm going to hit the ground running for Jesus. I challenge you to do that. I challenge you to do it right around here and around the world. That's challenging for me. My buddy Santosh is another story I want to talk about this morning. Santosh was born into a Hindu family as well. Born into a situation that most of us would call pretty desperate poverty. I mean, most of the conveniences that we have, he still does not have. My friend Santosh came to faith in Jesus, and his mom and dad came to faith in Jesus. And when I first met Santosh in 2017, Santosh and I are having this conversation, and I'm like, yeah, we get to do, and I'm telling him what we do with Manna, and we get to travel around and speak in churches and stuff like that. And yeah, like, you know, I get to speak in front of groups of people all the time. And he said, yeah. And I said, well, what do you do, Santosh? And he said, well, I run an organization here in Nepal that I started as a nonprofit that me and my friends basically decided to start to reach people for Christ. And we all give a little bit of money, what we can, into the organization to make it happen. And I said, well, great. How many people are you reaching? What are you doing? Because I don't know. You always ask about numbers, right? And he said, well, last year we reached about 10,000 kids. And I'm just blown away, right? Because that's a lot more probably than I'm speaking to this year. And I'm like, what? And he said, yeah, we get invited into schools all the time, and we play music, and we do skits, and we share the gospel, and we feed people, and we do all this stuff. And I said, with what? Because, I don't know, resources? And he goes, just what little we can scrap together. And let me tell you, that's what Manna looks for. We look for these people like Santosh around the world who are doing way more than you would ever, ever, ever expect them to be able to do with the minute amount of resources that they currently have. And we go, what would happen if you give a guy like that some more resources? What would happen? What could God do? What could we get to be a part of if we give a guy like that a little bit of resource? If we give a guy like that a whole bunch of people that are praying for him on the other side of the planet, if we take mission teams over to serve alongside him, if we give him some finances, you know, maybe God blessed the United States with more financial resources than any other people group in the history of the planet for a reason. Maybe. Remember, there are no accidents, right? Santosh and I have since talked a lot of times, and he spent the whole trip with us this past time, and so you know, I probably don't have to attest to just how incredible and the work he's doing and the experiences we had with him on this trip. He's like one of these outgoing leader guys. Like, he's the guy that you want in front of a group of people at all times. And man, just an incredible guy with incredible dreams. You know, Ephesians 3:20 says that, basically paraphrasing, God has plans to do exceedingly abundantly. I love that, exceedingly abundantly. That just, those are powerful words. Exceedingly abundantly beyond anything we can ask or think. Anything we can imagine, God's got plans much bigger than that. And so this guy, Santosh, he and I have talked about planting a church. And he and I have talked about planting a nutrition center within that church to serve that community. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. And Santosh has sent me over plans, and he and I are going back and forth and hashing out details and what's it look like and how can we maybe partner with Manna and Santosh to do this church plant in this nutrition center. And he and I are working on it, and I said, okay, so what are you going to name it? And I'm going to butcher the how do you say it, but Napalia is what he said. It basically means at the foot of the mountain, because the place he's planting the church is in the Kathmandu Valley, which is at the foot of some of the highest mountains in the world. 8 of the top 10 tallest mountains in the world are in Nepal. And so he's talking about plans to plant this church and the vision. And I want to just read his vision statement that he sent me because I think it's incredible. It says, Nepaliya Church's vision is to build a church focused on discipleship, missions, and faith in God. A church with dynamic, I love the wording here, with dynamic, electrifying corporate praise and worship that accurately disseminates the word of God. Isn't that a powerful statement? Let me tell you, being around Santosh, I can imagine the electrifying praise and worship. A church that is active in producing civic and social change and also provides stimulation for the spiritual, physical, and recreational needs of the congregation and the community. Isn't that what we're supposed to be as the church? Isn't that a great, I think that's just a great vision statement. And you can probably find so much of that in the book of Acts when it talks about the local church, right? I want to tell you that with Santosh, this project, we're still hashing out details and expenses and things like that, but we're probably going to fall somewhere with starting a church and a nutrition center. I don't know if anybody's tried to start a church or feed a whole bunch of kids here in the United States, but in Nepal, about $1,000 a month or so makes that happen. I don't know how much it would cost here. Probably probably a little bit more, right? a little bit more. But I want to ask you this morning, as I begin to sort of wrap up, I want to, the pastor says that. I want to ask you to pick up one of those cards around you somewhere. And these cards are, I know you guys have given incredibly just in the last month since we returned from Nepal to make that well happen at Peace Child Home. And I want to make sure that we give that the credit it's due, because a step of faith like that, digging in your pockets and making something happen like that, is far beyond what so many people out there are doing. It's far beyond what so many Christians sitting in a church somewhere this morning are doing. So I just want to applaud that. I want to tell you thank you for that. I want to tell you, you can't imagine what things like that mean to our partners in Nepal, what it means to me when people get behind these people that I care about and love so deeply. But more so than that, what it means to a God who loves them far more than I ever will. What it means to a God who loves it. When we dig in and get involved in something, when we step outside of our comfort and we go, you know what? We can help. And so I want to ask you to pick up one of those cards around you, maybe like one per family, or everybody wants to look at one of those. On one side of the card, there's a bunch of different countries that we work in. That's kind of the bluish side of that card. It's a list of most of the countries that we work in. It changes often enough that we can't keep reprinting cards. But if you flip over on the flip side of that card, there's some spaces to write in. And basically at the bottom, I want everybody to at least fill out one per family on the bottom of this card and just give me your name and email. Because what I want to do is plug you in with our newsletter, which lets you know when mission trips are coming. It gives you recaps of trips we just did. It tells you what our family's up to a little bit. And it hopefully will help to inspire you and inform you about what God's doing around the world. And so at least put name and email on there. But I also want to challenge you to pray about and consider what you could do on the top part of that form. And basically it says, I'll sponsor blank number of child or children at 28 monthly. I'll support my child annually at 336. I'd like to sponsor however many kiddos at this much. Now, because this is a little bit of a different project that we're talking about with a church and nutrition program, those funds would just be split between that. Now, I want to tell you, I want to be absolutely open with you that this project, these projects haven't been fully approved by MANA. They're not like on our website where you can see them. They're not like out there for everybody yet. Well, I guess they sort of are. But what we're doing is we want people to go ahead and commit to give. And you can go ahead and start giving if you'd like to on a monthly basis or annually or whatever, or a one-time, you know, gift or whatever, because we're going to need some funds when we do start a church. There's startup funds, right? You got to buy chairs and this kind of stuff, and we can get some of that donated, but we're going to need to have some startup funds. So if you want to get involved in that from the get-go, I challenge you to go ahead and be filling out those cards as we begin to wrap up today, and to go ahead and just pray about, God, how would you have me get involved? How would you have me take responsibility for a child in need, for a people in need? And so if you can go ahead and do that this morning, and I'm not sure, actually, Pastor Chris, I forgot to ask you, do you want those funds to come like through the Beachside website and things like that? Okay. Yeah, so at the end, you can give those to me as you go out. I want to ask you to come by our table at the end and talk with us, get one of our personal prayer cards and things like that, get some more information about trips, and just chat with us a little bit. So hand us those on your way out the door today, and whatever you've marked on those. And then you can give it through Beachside and just tag it to Manna Worldwide. I don't know if there's like a subject line online or if you write a check in here. And you can say Manna Worldwide on there, and that way you know exactly where it goes. Listen, the Bible says that where your treasure lies, there your heart will lie also. I can attest to that, because as we begin to give, as we began to get involved in missions, our heart grew ever more with those people in those places where we gave. Man, I have brothers and sisters named Santosh and Prakash and Banad and Karuna and Prina and Bikram. And all, man, there's like 40 or 50 in Asha and, you know, like all of these people in Nepal that have become brothers and sisters to me, that have become like family to me because we began to give. So I want to tell you, if I say that I love these kids, these people, but I don't put my treasure into ensuring that they have food, that they are protected, that they have the hope that is only found in Jesus, and do I really love them? That's the question I ask myself. If my treasure isn't directed towards His desire, God's desire to have them know His love, then how can I say that I love them? Can I even say that I love Him if I don't do what He commands me to do? Jesus said, if you love me, what? You'll keep my commands. And so today I just want to challenge you to get started, to go ahead and fill out a form. I want to challenge you to turn that in at the end. You can give it through beach.church, right? And designate that to Manna Worldwide Nepal. All of those funds will be directed directly to Nepal. And then as we get these projects completed and up and running and stuff, those funds will be directed to those projects. I want to tell you this morning that it's not a step of faith if you take from what you already give to give to something different. I always want to make sure I say that. I want to be a little blunt with it. That I never stand up in front of a church with Manna, and none of us that work with Manna and get to do this work that we do, we never want to stand in front of a church and take it out of the church's budget. We never want to take away from what people are giving through their tithes and offerings to the church already to direct it towards something else, because the stuff you're giving to reaches this community, reaches people in Guatemala, reaches people around the world, in Cuba, and it desperately needs to keep happening. But I want to ask you to stretch your faith. I want to ask you to take a step to do only what God asks you to do in your heart. And so if you'll give above and beyond your normal giving, I believe that God will return that to you in lots of ways. In lots of ways, He has returned that to us. And then I want to challenge you to get on a mission trip with us. Come back there, talk with us. I've got a trip to Nepal coming in May. I've got a trip in June to Panama. I've got another trip at the end of June to Fiji. I don't just go to beachy places. Nepal's not a beachy place. And then I've got a trip coming in October to Nepal again. And then we're looking at 2020 and 2021. We'll be planning trips to places throughout Asia for those times. And I just want to wrap up by saying it all begins with one. Like, it all begins with one person taking a step of faith to do something. Maybe it all begins with you. Can we wrap up by praying today? Father God, I thank you for having me in this place to speak with this church. Father, I hope that in my ramblings this morning that you have spoken clearly to the hearts of men and women in this place. Father, I pray that you'll continue to do that over the coming weeks and months. Father, I pray that you'll continue to lead this church to be more like you, to take responsibility for people in need, to take responsibility for the gospel that you've given us to share to the world. Father, I thank you for allowing my family to be a part of this mission, to represent these people and these kids and these brothers and sisters of mine in places like Nepal and around the world, Father. God, I just ask you that you'll continue to bless us, that you'll continue to allow us to give, that you'll continue to move in the lives of people. As I spoke with church members last night, the pains, Father, I pray that you'll continue to move in their life. I pray that you'll continue to move in the lives of Heather and Melissa and the Magnells and Anna. Father, I pray that you'll continue to move in each of our lives in just the way that you direct. God, I pray that you'll continue to use my family and this church to do your will and your will alone. Thank you so much, Lord. I pray that you'll bless the church planting process with Brother Santosh, the nutrition center, and the work that he does in schools and communities. Father, I pray that you'll bless Prakash and Grace, their mom Ruth, that you'll bless their work in their community, that you'll bless my brother Banad, the orphanage there at Peace Child Home. And I just thank you, God, for allowing me to be a part of what they're doing, what you're doing through them in that place. In Jesus' name, amen.